Good morning, Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody out this morning. What a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. He gave us a beautiful day to be here.
Amen.
Everybody pick up your hymnals, turn with me to page number 25. Page 25.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wanderings and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And got some stuff up here I should have made myself aware of a little bit earlier. But we got some announcements, and it's good to be here. We had a good class lesson. I know that we also in our class had Zoom for those that couldn't make it. And invite you to join that way if you can't be here. Facebook Live is on the boards now. And going forward, we welcome you to be with us. We have been working a little bit through some procedures, if you will, or some formats, and we'll continue to try to improve on that a little as we go forward. Thank goodness we have some people here that know what they're doing. I sure don't. I barely can turn the phone on. So, but thanks to everyone that's put forth a lot of effort there and are still continuing to do so. Beautiful, beautiful day, as Russ said earlier. And the weather's gorgeous. Looks like it's going to be dry for a few days, and 90 degrees. It's not too bad if you're sitting in the shade and get the fan on, but the 90's a little warm, but it's Arkansas after all, and it is June. So enjoy it. The grass is green, the birds are singing, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Okay, got a few announcements. Next Sunday, June 21st, will be Brother Walter's special offering to help his family in their time of need. We are not passing the plate anymore, so on your way out, if you can, just drop your offering, tithes and offerings in the plate on the back, and next Sunday there will be a basket back there labeled for the special offering for Brother Walter. If you're watching on Facebook, or if you see this on YouTube and you want to help support the church, you can find Brother Russ's address on our website, Oak Hill Missionary Baptist, and contribute that way. So everything is appreciated. We've had to still change some things up. Singing and Fellowship was scheduled for June 28th. It's been canceled for this quarter. Hopefully we can get back on track soon with that. The Lord's Supper for this quarter also is canceled as we try to work through some of these issues. Sunday night, July the 5th, is business meeting and election of officers and teachers. That's a big meeting. I realize it's on the holiday weekend, but it still is what it is, I guess. As far as I'm concerned, we're going to have it. Any other words or announcements? Oh, I'll just say this. During our election of officers and stuff like that, if you're not here, you may get put in a position. So you might ought to be here to defend yourself. Okay. Any other word or announcement?
Everybody turn with me to page number 43. Page 43.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred my slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, singing as I go.
Let's sing that third verse.
Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Page number 59. Page 59. You bass singers get warmed up out there now.
While traveling through this world of sorrow, I'm trusting, Lord, in Thee, that I may safely meet each trial. Oh, Lord, remember me. Remember me, O loving Savior, my strength and refuge be, that I may share Thy blessed favor. Oh Lord, remember me. When cherished friends of earth forsake me, and loved ones from me flee, Thou art my rod, my staff, my comfort. Oh Lord, remember me. Remember me, O Lord. loving Savior, my strength and refuge be, that I may share thy blessed favor. O Lord, remember me. I know that I will soon be going beyond the mystic sea. And when I come to make the crossing, oh Lord, remember me. Remember me, oh loving Savior, my strength and refuge be, that I may share thy blessed favor, oh Lord, remember me.
I'm going to do a song this morning. It's one you've heard me do several times before. A song written by Andre Crouch. That just, the older this song gets, the more it pertains to the life that we're living today. And I forgot the name of it. The blood will never lose its power. Hope I don't forget the words.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day, and it will never, never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms all my fears. It's the same precious blood that dried all of my tears. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day, and it will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day, and it will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day, and it will never lose. No, it will never, never lose. No, it will never, never, never lose its power.
Boy, it's going to be hard to preach after that. I tell you, I've told Gene in the past, that's one of my, if not my favorite songs, because it is about the power of the blood of Christ. And I've told him, so y'all are my witness, that if I go before he does, he has to sing that at my funeral. Don't let him forget. I think possibly Jesus could come back and we could all go together. Amen? Wouldn't that be wonderful? It's very good to be here. It's good to see all y'all, and Y'all pray for me. We're in the church series number 3. We're going to be reading a few scriptures, Acts chapter 2, Matthew chapter 18, John 6, and then John 3. Last week, we left off in our series with Jesus promising us the Comforter. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. We also left off with the Great Commission, which tells the church what we're supposed to be doing. Go ye therefore. Go preach and teach about Jesus and about God and about the Holy Spirit and about the saving grace of God. Because in all reality, without God's saving grace, humanity has no hope. We look at the things that are going on in the world today, and there's a lot of bad things going on, even in this great United States of America. But the power of God surpasses all the evil that's here on this earth. And no matter what man does, God's power wins, has already won, because we serve a risen Savior. But listen to me, church. Jesus Christ Himself, who started this church, left us our marching orders when He ascended up to be with the Father. And He's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now, but He still owns this church. It's His. But He's gone now. So He called out those first members, those first disciples, and He told them, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And He left the church here. And He ascended back up, but He didn't leave us with no power. He didn't leave us by ourselves. He sent the Spirit. Okay? He's going back to be with God Almighty. Now, I want you to think with me for just a second. Jesus called His church, said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He taught them personally. He ate with them. He traveled with them. He performed miracles in their presence. He gave them the power to do the same things. If you read the scriptures, you'll see that they performed many mighty miracles. It wasn't their power, though. It was the power of God through Jesus Christ. But now, they've also seen Him hung on the cross. They've seen Him placed in that borrowed tomb. And they saw Him come forth. They walked with Him and they talked with Him after He was raised from the dead. They knew. They knew Jesus Christ lived, but they also saw Him go back up to be with the Father. Now, He told them, go back to Jerusalem or stay at Jerusalem and don't leave until I send the Comforter. But do you think now, I mean, we're all humans and we, if we're honest with ourselves, know that if we were placed in that situation, we might be a little bit on edge. We might be a little bit concerned because the one who had taught us, the one who had led us, the one who had been our example was gone. Yes, we know that He never told us anything He didn't deliver, and He told us that He was going to send the Comforter, but He's not here. Might be a little nervous, but they believed. They believed what Jesus had said, so they stayed. And while they were there, they had their first business meeting. And as we're talking about the church, God, Jesus didn't leave anything to chance. He gave us everything that we need to understand how to run and govern and act in our churches. So they've done all that. I don't know how long it was before God sent the Comforter, but I don't believe it was very long, and I'll tell you why. Just like it isn't good for a church to be without a pastor, I want to tell you something, friend. It is not good for a scriptural church to be without a pastor. It was not good for them, for us, to be without the leadership of God, which we now have in the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus knew this. He knew it wasn't good for us to be adrift. And so he made the arrangements, and then he sent the Comforter, just like he had promised. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to read, and I'm going to work my way down through this. There are several scriptures, but please pray for me, and please be in prayer about these scriptures. And when the day of Pentecost, in verse 1, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Think with me for a second. Jesus had told them to go back to Jerusalem or stay in Jerusalem. They were gathered together. They were all of one accord. They were all in one place. Now, Pentecost is a Greek word signifying the 50th part of a thing. It could be anything, but it's the 50th part of that thing. Knowing that, we see here that it was applied in this instance to one of the three great feasts that the Jews partook in. And so this Pentecost, if you will, day was the 50th day after the Passover. It was one of their greatest feasts. They were all together. They were all having a good time, if you will. Remember that the Passover was the feast, and they recognized it because the death angel had passed over them. It was all about the blood that was on the doorpost. They celebrated that day every year. 50 days after the Passover, they celebrated again. And they were there. And so they were focused. And in verse 2, and suddenly. Now I want you to know that when God does something, he does it completely. And there's no doubt of what he does. Okay? That applies to everything. I want to tell you something, friend. God does things in a way that we have no doubt why they were done. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, when the Holy Spirit came, he made a spectacular entrance. Can you imagine that they were all sitting there celebrating, having a good time? Maybe even some of them was talking about Jesus and how that they wish he was still there and how they missed him and all these things. And then the Holy Ghost appears, lights on them, takes over their very bodies. Can you imagine the questions they might have been asking to themselves and others? What's happening to us? What's going on? I didn't study French, and I can talk. I can't even imagine. I'm going to tell you something. The closest I think that I can relate to this event is when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior oh so many years ago. And when I walked that aisle and when I accepted Jesus Christ, there was a feeling that came over me like nothing I had ever experienced. That's been 51 years ago, friend. I still remember that day like it was yesterday. You know why? Because that's when the Holy Spirit moved in Sam Ault right here and took up residence. I want you to know he's still in there. He's still in there. That's what God did for us. That's what Jesus did. That's what happened right here today. The Holy Spirit descended out of heaven and lit upon them, consumed them, took them over. What's happening? What's happening? verse 5. And here's what took place. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. I'm here to tell you this morning that I don't know anything but English. And the English I know comes from a little hill up there we call Jesseville, and it's pretty slang. I can't speak any other languages. But if the Spirit of God wants you to hear the Word, He'll put it in a word that you can understand. That's the way the Spirit works. They were there. They were of every nation. And they had heard, and they came together in verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" You see, the ones that were doing the talking were all from one nation, one place, one language. And verse 8, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya and Crete, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Think for just a minute what just had happened. The Holy Spirit had descended upon the disciples, the apostles, and He took control of their bodies. And when they spoke in the language that they were familiar with, but everyone there from all nations heard them in their native tongue. That's what the Holy Spirit did. That's what He did. I think you might just stop for a second and wonder if you heard that. I think you might just say something mighty, something great, something wonderful has just happened. The power of God is back in the presence of man. Those disciples had to be ecstatic because they'd seen Jesus go back up, and now they could feel the presence of God in their very bodies. They knew what He was doing. It was above their pay grade, if you will, above their understanding, above their knowledge. That's the power of God. Jesus has gone back to be with His Father, and He sits on His right hand. But listen to me, church, He has not left us powerless. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked on the tongues issue, and that's a whole other story and a whole other sermon for another day. But I want to focus on the fact that God did not leave His church here without a leader and without the power to carry on the Great Commission. This is still Jesus' church. He's going to come back and get it one of these days. And until He does, I believe it'll still be here. And I believe that it will still be preaching and teaching the truth about the shed blood of Jesus Christ covering all sin for all mankind. He's still in control. But now we're being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Now I want you to think about that for just a second. The Holy Spirit of God. A lot of times I think that people say, "Oh, the Holy Spirit," and they pass it off as some lesser part of God. There's nothing further from the truth. God Almighty is all God. Jesus Christ, His Son, is all God. And the Holy Spirit of God is all God. Amen. He's here this morning. I feel Him. He's here. Amazing. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? God, three in one, complete. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. None lesser than the other. All equally God. Different, but the same. Manifested in different ways, but all God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So now, the church. Here we are, some 2,000 years later, and I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit is here with us today. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus Christ Himself says this, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." I want you to know something, friend. Jesus Christ is here, manifested through the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is in the business of leading lost souls to salvation. We have the power of God in our midst this morning. I want to say this. I don't want to get too far off track, but I don't believe that I have the power to heal people. I don't believe that I have the power to speak in tongues. I believe that when that which was perfect, which is God's holy word, was come in its completed form, these things were done away with. Now we're left with faith, hope, and charity. These are the greater things anyway. Greater than speaking in different languages. Greater than anything. That's what sets us apart from the world, is our love and our charity and the hope that we have in our risen Savior. But here's what I know. The Holy Spirit is still hard at work in this old, vile, mean, corrupt world that we live in. He is still in the business of drawing men to salvation. John chapter 6, verse 44. And very simply, Jesus speaking again, "No man cometh unto me." I will stop there and I want to tell you this. No one gets to God Almighty except they go through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So you have to get it right. You have to go through Jesus to get to God. And no one can come to Jesus except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Listen, God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell with us here to draw us to Him. So, some that I might not know would ask this question, why do I need to be drawn to God? Why? I believe there is a God, so why do I need to be drawn? The Bible also says that the devils believe and tremble, but it don't make them saved. You see, the first thing is realizing that there is a God. But there's a big difference in knowing that there is a God and then accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, accepting God for who He is, putting our faith and trust in Him. That's why we have to be drawn. That's why we have to make the decision. I believe there is a God. But I believe also that His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, came to this earth in the form of a man, lived without sin, so that He could be the perfect sacrifice and pay the price for my sin. And without you believing that, friend, you're not going to get in the presence of God. So the Spirit draws. The Spirit reveals these truths to you. He won't take a big hammer and hit you in the head. He won't drag you down the aisle. He won't drag you to your knees. He won't force you to do something, but He will lead you in a still, small voice. this understanding, this knowledge that you need Jesus. Friend, don't reject that calling. Don't reject that knowledge. That's the Holy Spirit telling you you need to accept before it's too late. In John chapter 3, I can't ever talk about being born again and having to be drawn to the Spirit. I don't think about old Nicodemus over there. And Nicodemus, I'm just going to read the scripture beginning in verse 1. John 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. I want you to understand this before I go on. Nicodemus was a very religious man. Okay? He knew the law. He was a part of the ruling majority or minority of the Jews in their religious sect. Okay? He knew. Okay, verse 2, the same, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night. He didn't want to lose his position. He didn't want people to ridicule him. He might have been a little bit anxious. In the night, he came and he said unto Jesus, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Excuse me. In verse 3, Jesus answered and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we're physical beings. We have to have a physical birth to be here like we are today. That in and of itself is a miracle. Only God could set in motion. But here we are, born in the flesh. And in Nicodemus' mind, he was saying, How can I be born again? Look in verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Listen, Jesus answered. Nicodemus, I can just see him. Looking at Nicodemus and just saying in this kind voice and this love that Jesus had, this sacrificial love, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Water birth, my friend, is not baptism. That's the physical birth. But the spiritual birth is a different thing. Be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You see, my friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not spiritually reborn. You're just born in the flesh. The Holy Spirit will lead you in understanding that you need, that you must be born again, that you have to go through this spiritual birth before you can be complete, before you can be whole, before you can get to the presence of God. Why do I need to do that, preacher? Well, you know what? We're all sinners. The Word tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. This fleshly body, this body that you see before you this morning cannot get in the presence of God without being changed. And the way we're changed is from within. It starts with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that only happens when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We must be changed in order to communicate with God. We must be changed in order to interact with God. You see, knowing there is a God doesn't get us on His preferred caller list. Only the shed blood of Jesus does. Just believing is not enough. Understand the wonderful, loving, caring, giving nature of God is that He sent His Son to die on the cross, and that He sent His Spirit to indwell us and to lead us and to draw us and to guide us until Jesus comes back to get us. Still the same Holy Spirit that descended on the day of Pentecost. Still the same Holy Spirit that led me to the understanding that I needed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior 51 years ago. Seems like it was yesterday. And in order for the Holy Spirit to lead you, you first have to acknowledge that you need Jesus. I want to tell you something, friend. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you need Him more than you need anything. Because without Him, you have no hope. Look at the world around you today. There is no hope in the government. There is no hope in the world except the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why the church was left, to share the good news that there is hope. That no matter what happens, God is still in control. Jesus, His church is still here. The Holy Spirit is still in the business of drawing men and women to Jesus. Jesus gave His life on the cross of Calvary just for you. I've said this many times, I won't say it again. I believe, without a doubt, that if I was the only human being ever to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, He would have still came, and He would have still went through what He went through, and He would have still given His life on the cross just for me. But you see, He didn't do it just for me. He did it for all mankind. He did it for all of us. This is the message that our world needs. This is the message that the church has and that we're to share. The message. The need has not changed since the Garden of Eden. We're all born with a sin nature, separated from God. The need hasn't changed. The means by which we get there has not changed. As we sit here today, as we are where we're at, whether it's here in this sanctuary, whether it's on Facebook, whether you're watching this on YouTube later, I don't know. But I do know this, that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world. I know that the Holy Spirit is here, but I know that He's everywhere. He's God. So wherever you are, if you feel deep in your soul, if you feel this drawing, this yearning, this compulsion to examine, to accept Jesus Christ, you don't have to be right here in this sanctuary. You can do that right where you're at. Wherever you're at. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before it's too late, my friend. That's the message of the church. That's the business of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. Accept Jesus before it's too late. When's it too late, preacher? Well, when you die. If you die without accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's too late for you. Maybe the Spirit will quit calling on you. You're not guaranteed that He'll call you every time you hear the word. Don't put it off. You may not get another chance. This church is here for the purpose of spreading the gospel. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We don't save anyone. Jesus Christ does that. But what we're responsible for is telling the world. And listen, the church, saved person, as we look around the world and we see all the evil, we might sometimes get to thinking that, well, there is no hope. But I want you to know something. We have all the tools we need as a church to spread the gospel, to see lost souls saved. The tools. I've been talking about them all morning. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from the separation of God. Saved from a hopeless world. The plan is Jesus. But the responsibility of sharing that plan belongs to us, church. It's up to us. The results are up to the individual, the leadership of the Spirit. Some would say, and I've heard this many times, but I'm not a preacher. Yeah. Let me tell you something. What a preacher is a proclaimer. And we all are. In our daily lives, in our walks, in our talks, we all proclaim Jesus Christ in the world. Tell others about what He did for you. What has He done for you? He's given me peace. He's given me joy. He's given me hope. He's given me the assurance that after I accepted Him as Lord and Savior, whatever happens to me in this life, on this earth, I'm getting a new glorified body, and I'm going to get to spend eternity in the presence of God. That's what He did for me. Do you know Jesus? If you don't, you can. You can know Jesus. God is calling. Are we going to answer? You know, we all have different jobs. We all have different abilities. I was going to talk about that some this morning, but I'll talk about that some next week. But here's what we're supposed to do. Proclaim Jesus. Don't worry. God's still in control. God still has a plan. Now, if you're out there in Facebook land or looked at this on YouTube, I want you to know this. God loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. And we here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist love you. That's why we're doing what we do. We love you. You don't have to be here to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but you do have to make a conscious decision. Listen to the leadership of the Spirit. Get down on your knees and pray this very simple little prayer. God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. Jesus, save my soul. Trust and believe, friend. That's all you have to do. If you feel the calling, don't put it off. If you've prayed that prayer, and Lord knows I hope you have, if you don't know Him, please, don't put it off. I'd like for you, if you would, just to reach out to us. Send me a little short message and let me know that you've accepted Jesus so we can be praying for you, that we can get in contact. Our email is oakhillmissionarybaptist@gmail.com. Just a short little note. But thank you for joining in with us. Have a blessed day. Now, if you're here this morning, I want to ask Gene and Linda Gale to come. I want you to stand with me, if you would, for a word of prayer. Our fathers, we come to you at this time, Lord, thankful for this opportunity to share the word, to be able to reach people, Lord, in your name. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would descend on the lost. Lord, that they would know that they need to accept you before it's too late. Lord, I pray for each and every one that's struggling with this decision. Just lead them, Lord, and let them feel your power. Lord, I thank you for this church and the efforts that are being put forth and that we might spread the gospel. And Lord, this has not been easy, and you know it. And it's a learning curve. And we're thankful, Lord, that you've placed people in our midst that are able to help us through this. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to speak to more people. Lord, this coronavirus has actually been a blessing to us, and whether we know it or not, because we're reaching more people now than we did before. The power is in you. The preaching is our responsibility. We submit to your power. Lead the lost, convict them, guide us, help us. Lord, now I pray also if there's any here in our congregation that if they don't know Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would draw them to this altar that they might know that they're saved, true and living God. Lord, if there's needs here, Lord, I pray that they would know that they could just freely come to this altar and pray and just give it to Jesus. He said, come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. Jesus Christ, I will give you rest. Not me, Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.